These are five sonnets entitled Alan's Ashes. One, In Extremis. From that first Pentecost, we had been told multiple cancers would lay waste to you. You asked, I read you, David, who was new to one God wouldn't suffer to grow old. He sought a servant for the holy fire, and needing a new tenor for his choir, he brought you to the altar and the pew. You were seduced at Christmas. Eastertide, he moved you, poet, to a work of thanks for exiting the unbeliever's ranks. Humbly, you became our Savior's bride, enslaved in Egypt's mines to make anew King David's poems, of which we have too few. Offered a choice, you took the angel's side. Two. Artist's Hill. This is the Wilbur plot on Artist's Hill. The spade so worn, a torture to the hands of him who wields it if he wears no gloves. Richard has reached the age of 87. Charlie and Laurie have escaped to heaven, but two holes must be dug, an old friend's loves buried in ground where ashes sleep until the trumpet sounds, and bodies rise from sands or deep loam where they sleep. So Alan stakes the ground as weeds head in the field edge rose. Over our heads mosquitoes hum, and crows intone their interest in the dead. Alan takes the spade in hand, still strong but chemo slim, the next hole to be dug. I'll dig for him. Three, The Ashes. I feared the U.S. Postal Service lost your ashes, which arrived here just today. 11 days via priority mail. The final sea on which you set your sail, only to have your ashes float astray, shipped and returned, delivered, double-crossed. Now what to do? A consecrated plot, a granite headstone bearing both our names without my year of death? That will come soon, measured by the swift transits of the moon. I thank Michael the Archangel who tames my grief when I'm self-pitying my lot. Live on, mon vieux, in words you sometimes wrote when Jesus seized his servant by the throat. Four, The Monsignor, for Robert Laliberty. Young priests tell me they've climbed into your car and smelled the scent of roses. Yesterday, my friends gathered at Mass to hear you pray for a fine poet who has crossed the bar. The Navy hymn sent Alan on his way. You spoke of poetry, the word made flesh, how metaphor unravels the dark mesh of chaos that ensnares us when we stray. Your learning rouses my platonic love and summons this confession. When you preach or come to grace my table, when you teach history, Hebrew, Latin, ancient Greek, all that your lost host could hope to seek, I hear the distant wing beats of a dove. Five, Court of Honor. In dream I sit, holding your unbound books. Scouts and scoutmasters cast me sidelong looks as though to say, your mate has met his end, forget him. Then an advocate and friend, a face from boyhood, from Camp Wilderness, strides from the crowd to tidy up my mess of loose-leaf papers in an ordered stack. Wings flexed by the muscles on his back, he soars above our council fire, our rings of split-log seats, and cries, King David sings! The scouts are stunned. I speak from memory, Psalms 2 and 8, your Psalm 133, lyrics translated for an English choir of boy sopranos warmed around a fire. Epinikian Ode, on a last line by Alan Sullivan. 1. It was on road cuts in the mountain west I learned to read the rocks, the depositions, igneous intrusions, the treasure chest laid bare for us by contractors' incisions, the dynamiting of a mountain's breast, and the long scope of my creator's visions. The boy who taught me, God laid him to rest. 2. I cease to be a man of the Midwest. It's 14 years since last I sank a plow in Svi Bearden Loam. My heart turns now west to the rivers where the magpies nest. Alan, I tried so hard to make a go of dryland farming, couldn't make it work. Not that there was any task I'd shirk, but luck wasn't with me. Where mountains grow in man's imagination, we sought relief. On snow-covered massifs above the plains, thirsting so greedily for mountain rains, the unforgiving fields that gave us grief. The Wind River, Beartooth, the Bighorn Peaks, anything but this flat land where I farmed and failed, as you grew ever more alarmed. We drank too little from Wyoming's creeks. 3. Iguanas fall half-frozen from the trees, casuarinas, and the manatees school by the outflows of the power plants as Florida's mailmen pull on long pants. Here it is lovely, 17 above. Feeney and I are flushing pheasants, love. Fargo, of course, is buried deep in snow. An age that you surpassed 3 years ago, 60, awaits me 2 weeks from today. My waist still slim, my head still red, not gray. My teeth rotten as timbers on a ship the Spaniards left to settle in its slip. My first birthday in 37 years without a partner to allay my fears of growing old alone, of growing weak as gravity defeats my frail physique, of having no friend to replace the friend who went so prematurely to his end. I am forever, love, your tipsy rover. Old sailors never die, they just keel over. Burial at Sea, in memory of Alan Sullivan. 1. Burial at Sea. 2,000 miles south of our frozen orchard, the boat we hired, a 40-foot tiara, threaded the maze of channels from Las Olas, bearing a box of ashes and your mourners. Fathers Patrick O'Shea and Tom O'Dwyer, our Irish shepherds from the Little Flower, read from St. John. Not Paul, they showed you mercy to bury you at sea. The rite was Roman. Singing the Navy hymn, my voice not breaking, easily drowned the thrum of diesel engines pinning us to the wind. Your wreath was orchids. I walk a jet ramp bound for North Dakota, bearing an urn to bury in our orchard beside the ashes of the labs who loved you. 2. The Widower. Talk to the dead. It is a form of prayer employed by lonely people who grow old. When conscience sadly rocks its creaking chair over the little sins we've never told a priest wearing his stole, our dead are there. The present fades, the past lengthens its hold, and that way lies senescence and despair. 3. Obad. How's heaven? Have you finally found your voice, the operatic tenor of a star? Do you play harp better than that guitar you lugged, age 22, from bar to bar? Do angels sing your psalms when they rejoice? By day I write, by night I dream of you. Purgatory enough for any man, you're suffering according to God's plan. He forged our friendship when the world began, a partnership that we will soon renew. 4. Fording the Green. A pine log bridged the stream. We chose to ford, knowing we'd fall, were we to try that log with heavy packs, and miles left in our slog to the Green River entrance. We had soared, surmounting square top, frying cutthroat trout I caught on flies flung from a spinning rod. Sunburned and blistered, time we two hiked out. I scrunched a screeching pica in the sod, which not long since was burrowed deep in snow. Poor little beast. Now 15 miles to go. The green was green because of glacial melt. A fringe of ice had shelved on either bank, and how we screamed. Up to our waists we sank. Never before, friend, had we climbed so high. We played the cards that two gay boys were dealt and clutched each other as we kissed the sky. 5. Summiteer. We roped only when we traversed a glacier or scrambled up a snow-choked granite chimney. We were not climbers, merely lowly trekkers with sturdy boots who rarely strapped on crampons. How many times we summited on mountains that opened our perspectives to a fastness of ice and bergschrund seldom seen by hikers. Now disembodied, love, you climb the Eiger, its north face, which the Germans call Der Mordwand, the death wall, for the 64 who fell there. You're 22 again, weary of heaven, you roam the foothills of the Himalayas. Last week you camped beside Kali Gandaki. Tomorrow you will conquer Daulagiri. 6, Eagle Banquet. In age we range between our teens and 80s. Two boys who served last summer on the camp staff sit to eat lunch surrounded by their elders, ignoring us, eyes only for each other, so wrapped in limerence, they make me joyous. How do I know? Call it an old scout's gaydar. When love matched us, we were some 3 years older. Our partnership endured almost 4 decades, despite 2 struggles, alcohol and cancer. Now all bow heads to say grace with our chaplain. I don't pray for the Boy Scouts or our nation, but happiness like ours for 2 young eagles. Limerence, word coined by Dorothy Tenov. Romantic love which verges on obsession. It is no mere teenage infatuation. No, limerence outlives its adolescence, then stares on tempests and is never shaken, and sweeps lovers away into their 80s. When it attacks, how fortunate its victims.